Welcome to Cryptid Addicted.
Correct.
Not Cryptid Addiction, as I apparently said very loudly at the introduction of last episode.
Yes. Oh, dear. How are you?
Me or the audience?
You.
Me. Oh, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm happy because this episode, apparently, we're doing a cryptid that is less plausible than the other cryptids.
I don't know. I came around.
We've discussed.
After researching it, I came around.
Okay. All right. Last week, she was despairing a little.
Don't tell them that.
Because I didn't even believe in the Orang Pendig. Although there's more information on that coming up at the end of this episode.
Yes.
So we're going to return briefly to the Orang Pendig.
Yeah, the decider. Who wins the
$10. Who wins the $10, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have no idea what this week's is.
Mm-hmm.
Please enlighten me.
Okay. Well, first of all, you should ask me how I'm going.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Where are my manners? How are you going?
I fell today.
What? What are you talking about?
I want to show you.
Oh, oh God, sorry. That's going to have to get cut from the audio. I just screamed like a little girl.
I fell over on the way here. I fucked my knee up.
Oh, wow.
I was about two all steps right out of the office.
Why are we starting like
I don't know. I just thought you'd like to know
right
some insight.
Side note, Megan's actually going very well. She got a promotion in her real life, which we're going to put on the podcast.
Thank you.
I won't give you any more details because I guess, like, privacy.
Privacy.
But, yeah, the cut is overshadowed, dwarfed by the...
There's a lot happening in my life,
apparently. Success. Yeah, I fall and promoted. Yeah.
I fall and rise.
And rise.
Great stuff.
You're a woman of international mystery.
Okay, so... This is a podcast about cryptozoology for those who are new, and for those who don't know what it is, I've actually got some fun fact about that, which you can bring up at parties. Crypto...
You don't go to parties, you listen to our podcast. Like.
But if you ever find yourself in one...
Somehow, yeah. If you wake up and there's a party going on around you...
And there's a cute girl and you want to, like, entertain her with some interesting facts...
Don't tell her this.
Tell her this. Crypto, from cryptozoology, means hidden... And zoology is obviously animals.
I know that, like cryptocurrency, right?
Hidden. Yeah, hidden.
But no, it doesn't mean hidden, it means like...
In Latin, it means hidden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So it means like hidden animals. Yep.
Okay.
Cool.
Cool.
And obviously, Patty is the believer. No, no.
The opposite.
Not
one
that
of the two.
I am the believer, Patty is not.
And another thing you probably want to know if you're new is I know nothing going into these episodes, and Megan's done a lot of research.
Yes.
So... I'm an ignorant skeptic.
Yeah. Yeah. But we always like to start with a animal that was once thought to be a cryptid and has proven to be real.
Do we?
Yes.
Okay, we always like to start that way.
And I've got a really interesting one today. So, in Sri Lanka, there is the devil bird. And there's been stories for ages and ages and ages. Oh.
I know about this.
Do you?
It was in, like, one of Richard Dawkins, like, the evolutionary biologist, in one of his books. Do people mistake... It's called for, like, the devil for a long time.
For the devil or, like,
yeah,
a woman, like,
screaming. Yeah, it has, like, a terrifying call.
Yes.
Yeah.
Red eyes, horns, they'd see it, and it was, like, an omen of death.
Mm.
And it's been, like, around for centuries, this folklore. Yeah, oh, also, and for centuries, like, Western scientists were like, you're wrong.
You're wrong, doesn't exist.
But in 2001, it was identified to be the spot-bellied eagle owl. And the characteristic horns are actually, like, feathery, tough things.
Okay.
But I've got the most adorable photo of it.
Oh! It's...
Grumpy.
It is. It looks really, yeah, frazzled. And, like, it's just been woken up and it's kind of cross.
Cool. All
right.
That's it. Anyway,
Okay, yeah, so some of the cryptids are real.
Yes.
Possibly they're intended.
Oh, also, before we jump into the episode, I have a correction from episode one.
Oh,
because I
we
didn't.
Take a while to make our corrections.
Yeah, I've been meaning to this for a while, but I forgot every time. So I said that hallkattl, this Icelandic delicacy,
mm-hmm,
was from frilled shark. It's actually the Greenland shark. Totally different sharks.
That's, you know, it's a real lapse in quality.
I'm sorry.
Do better.
I'll try to do better from now on.
Yeah.
Okay. So finally, animal of the episode.
And yes.
Is.
Or Maybe not. Maybe made up.
No. Definitely real.
Definitely animal of the episode. What is it?
Pterodactyls.
Oh, this is going to be great. Thank you for this gift. Oh, this is so good. And there's pizza coming in like 20 minutes.
And we have gin and tonic.
And we have gin. Uh-huh.
Good friends.
I'm going to enjoy tonight. All right.
Okay. So, to be more specific, they're like modern day pterosaurs. So, pterosaurs is like the umbrella grouping of like a pterodactyl. Is
okay.
A pterosaur, but there's other types of pterosaurs.
All right.
So, that's like a very finicky point that some people latch onto. So, in order to not be yelled at, pterosaurs, but pterodactyls.
Yes, our vast readership pulling us up on small points. Listenership, I guess.
Yeah, you always, yeah, definitely not viewership.
Definitely not that. Thank God.
Not
thank
yet.
God they can't. I just turn up like a slob each week. I'm in all blue today.
I have a huge bleeding knee.
That's true. Yeah, we're a mess. But anyway.
Cool. So, obviously, pterosaurs. They're reptiles, and according to science, they disappeared due to the mass extinction 65 million years ago.
They're dinosaurs.
They're actually not dinosaurs. They're a separate thing.
Oh, are they?
Yes,
oh,
correct.
All right. Egg don face.
Yes. They were largest creatures to ever take flight. They were slow gliders. They didn't flap too often. And there were many different species of pterosaurs, some with tails, some with larger head crest things,
mm-hmm.
some with feathers, some with sharp teeth, and others without. Their wingspans also varied hugely from 5 meters, which 16 feet to 13 meters, which is 43 feet.
Oh my God. Wait, the smallest is 5 meters.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So this is huge. It's much bigger than
yes.
any bird. Okay, cool.
So they've been reported in Madagascar, Namibia.
Namibia?
Namibia.
Yeah.
New Zealand, Crete, Brazil, Argentina, Vietnam, Papua New Guinea, Australia, and Texas.
Australia?
Yeah. Bloody Australia.
Or a pterodactyl down at the pool. All
right.
All right. Well, that's interesting because they can't possibly exist in all those places, right? Like, most species are confined to, like, certain parts of the world. So already we know some of those people are just lying.
Come on now. They've got wings.
Flying across continents.
Oh, like birds.
Well, they've got 5 meter wingspan. The ocean is no obstacle to the pterosaur.
Maybe they migrate.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
What, across, like, the Pacific?
Yeah.
That'd be new.
Mm.
But they are new, I guess.
Exactly. Correct.
Yes.
They are. End of episode, Patty agrees. Okay. So.
Well, you got me there.
Yeah. So there's sort of reports around the world, but I'm going to be focusing on the ones in America, most of all. Because because I want
to. Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine. If you can convince me the pterosaurs exist in any location, then I will have considered you to have one.
Patty, I think these things exist. Like, no, honestly.
You're so gullible.
Patty! Yeah. All right, you'll see. Cool. So the well-known and respected Greek explorer Herodotus. Okay.
Yeah.
Herodotus.
Also the first historian, I think.
I'm not too
like
sure.
He invented history.
Is that where we get the word hero from?
I don't think so.
Well, that would be cool. So anyway, he once described creatures in Egypt and Arabia that were small flying reptiles with snake-like bodies and bat-like wings. Interesting.
Interesting. He was a pretty authoritative chap, I think. But I don't really know.
And then old mate Aristotle.
Cool. Notoriously credible. Just a dispenser of truth, old Aristotle is.
The old Greek philosopher.
Four elements. Everything revolves around the earth. Sublunary, superlunary. All right, yes. What does old mate Aristotle have to say about this?
He saw similar animals that he described as flying serpents or reptiles, dragons and monsters. He saw them in Ethiopia.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm just wondering, what could this be? Because, like, I don't know if I trust these people. I don't trust Aristotle that much. I trust him to be honest, but he got so much shit wrong.
Cool. All right, so that's literally all the history shit. So, sightings. In America, there has been an estimated 1,400 plus eyewitness accounts of pterosaurs within the last 3 decades. According to the self-appointed living pterosaur expert, Jonathan D. Whitcomb. Self-appointed being a key word there.
That's amusing. All right. How did he come to that number?
Interesting, actually. So he gets sightings and he researches sightings that have been reported by other people, but he thinks that the stigma against telling someone that you've seen a pterosaur is so big that there must be all these people seeing it and not saying anything. So a fraction of that number have said something, and he just assumes that there's a huge number that are too embarrassed to say that they saw anything.
What's his name again? Whitcomb.
Jonathan D. Whitcomb.
Okay. I have a problem with Mr. Whitcomb's thinking there. Anyway.
He's an interesting guy.
Okay, go on.
So yeah, I've kind of just got some brief sightings, but I'm going to delve into the ones that I could actually find some meaty detail on.
Good. Meaty, yeah. we like fleshy arches, meaty detail.
One of the earlier ones I've got is May 1961 in New York State. A rich dude flying his plane around saw some huge fuck-off creature and claimed it looked like a pterodactyl. Cool.
Okay. In New York State.
In New York State.
Is this where they're mostly claimed to be, according to self-appointed pterosaur expert?
No, I think there's a conglomeration around Texas and California, from memory.
Because if they're in California, Texas, and New York State, that is West Coast, center of America, and East Coast.
Cool.
By center, I mean like center-south.
Mm.
So that's like, they're all over America.
Yeah. Well, they have wings.
So. Yeah, true. No, we've already established they can fly everywhere.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. In the early 1960s in California, a couple, two people.
Mark me, two.
Count them. On the side of a road through Trinity National Forest saw silhouettes of a beast, one silhouette of a beast with a wingspan of up to 14 feet that resemble a pterodactyl.
Oh, that's a very specific number.
Yeah, probably a guess.
I don't see silhouettes in the distance and be like, my God!
That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's a...
That many feet.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just one of the brief ones.
Okay.
So, meaty time.
Meat time.
Meat.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
January 1976 in Harlington, Texas.
It was a cloudy day.
No, it was probably not.
Ominous clouds informed. No, it's
Texas. No, they wouldn't be able to see the thing in the sky.
True.
Two super reliable teenagers named...
It specifically says that here.
Says that right here.
Mr. Whitcomb promised. All right.
Jackie Davis, 14, and Tracy Lawson, 11, witness a bird-like creature standing in front of them.
Wait, these are young kids.
11 and 14.
11 and 14. These are the kind of kids that make shit up.
So they saw this bird-like massive creature standing in front of them. It was 5 feet tall, and it was dark in color, had a sharp 6-inch long beak, a bald head, and a face that looked like a gorilla's.
Wait, so bald head, long beak, 5 foot tall, looks like a bird.
Bird-like, and had a gorilla's face.
That's, like, a pretty good description of a bald eagle, aside from the gorilla's face. Also, if it's 5 feet tall, it's not going to have a wingspan of 5 to 13 meters, is it? Because that means it would have these gigantic wings. Wouldn't be able to, like, lift off in it.
I'd say if we take birds as an example, their height is shorter than their wingspan.
Yeah, but by how many times? Like, 2 or 3 times?
Many.
Many. Enough to make this plausible. Okay, all right.
Full stop. So they basically told their parents, these little kids, and then the parents went and, like, had a look around, and there was some tracks left behind by the creature, and it had 3 distinct toes, which were 8 inches across, which makes sense, because pterosaurs from fossil records have 5 digits on their back legs, but their, like, the hands on their wings usually have, like, 3 toes.
Were there not tracks from the back feet?
Doesn't say there was.
Are they doing handstands? Like, what the hell?
Some of them walk. Like,
just on their front legs.
No, not just on their front legs. They're back legs, themselves. But they steady themselves. They, like, walk on all fours-ish.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fact.
Undeniable.
I saw a gif of it.
I am curious as to how this information got into the hands of you. So these parents, what did they do once they found these tracks? They went to a local sheriff or something? Like,
I don't know. There's like, that Whitcomb guy is, like, quite a known rooter for pterosaurs. So they may have just emailed him and be like, this is what I saw.
Yeah, what year was this?
1976.
All right, well, anyway, let's continue.
Cool.
Okay.
Also in 1976, interestingly,
mm-hmm.
we have a copper.
Oh.
Reliable.
We know cups don't lie.
Ever.
Ever.
Okay, so in the early hours of the morning, policeman Arturo Padilla of San Benito, Texas, was driving alone in his cruiser. While he was driving on an empty road, his headlights caught something in front of him. It was big. Very big. Apparently. Oh, no, wait, that's your line.
Are you putting my lines in your notes?
It doesn't say apparently, I just...
Okay.
Okay.
Apparently.
Looking at it for a moment, it soon shot off into the sky, and to him it looked kind of like a massive bird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lonely policeman at 2 a.m. sees something.
Correct.
Possibly a bird.
Yes. A short moment later, a fellow officer, Homer Galvan, who was not very far away, saw something also. It flew above him and appeared as a stark black silhouette, and he noted that it didn't see it flap its wings before it disappeared.
Ooh. So it was gliding like most birds do.
Well.
Okay. All right.
And most pterosaurs. I think pterosaurs are known to not flap their wings
too
much.
That's the thing. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. So a little while later, same year, same, like, within a month, I don't know, one Texan resident...
Maybe a different year. Who knows, really? It's just at some time, a person.
Doesn't matter.
But he saw the thing.
If it was a he, yes. I don't know. It just says one Texan resident. Of Brownsville. It's a real place.
Just building up a profile here. All right. A person in Brownsville, Texas.
From his mobile home, heard thrashing and crashing and thumping outside. He went to investigate. It was around 9:30 at night.
Very dark, and the moon is not like right above you, so difficult.
He saw something stood in his yard that looked like a monstrous bird, as he described it.
They're all calling it bird-like, so it's probably one of the feathered pterosaurs. You said some pterosaurs have feathers.
Yeah, but most of the time they describe it without feathers. It's just like bird-like in its form, you know, wings, I guess.
It has, okay.
He's got actually get a quote from it here, right, where he's describing it.
Okay, cool.
It's like a bird, but it's not a bird, he said.
Just so insightful, powerful stuff.
Following on this from this again, heaps of other reports were made. Two sisters spotted something that looked like a big black bird with the face of a bat near a pond outside Brownsville. Brownsville again.
Brownsville.
A radio station even offered a reward for the creature's capture because they got so excited about all the recent thingies.
Wow, money.
No one,
legitimacy.
No one did any. No one got it.
No, really? Shocked me.
Three Texan school teachers in San Antonio on the way to work one day reported seeing a strange flying creature with a wingspan of around 15 to 20 feet across. Big.
Big. Real big, as our cup friend
very
said
big
earlier. Arturo, I believe it was.
Oh, who knows?
Question.
Yeah.
Is Texas where all the probe stories came from? Like the UFOs, like, sucking people up and, like, anally probing them? And, like, the like, crop circles? Is that all Texas?
I don't know. I know Chile has a massive amount of UFO sightings, though.
Yeah?
Roswell was in Texas, right?
I don't
Roswell,
know.
Roswell, Texas, yeah.
Can we pause for a moment to look that up and make some more G&T for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Whoa! You've had a lot more than me.
I like gin.
I also like gin. All right, we good?
All right. We're back. I've got my G&T. We've just looked it up, and Roswell, which is where all of the made-up UFO stuff and the anal probes and crop circles and Area 51 and whatnot happen, is a mere 12-hour drive from Brownsville. This is the land of, like...
crazy shit.
Of people thinking crazy shit. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, if you were going to pick somewhere in America for made-up stories to come from, you'd be, like, Roswell.
Maybe.
And then second of all, you'd be, like, Brownsville.
Maybe the Area 51 crash-landing UFO was actually a pterodactyl.
No. No, it wasn't.
Well, you're open-minded.
Why would the military hide that pterodactyls existed? It only makes sense if it's UFOs. If pterodactyls existed, they'd be like, scientists, get on this. Exciting for you researchers of old things.
I don't want people to panic about these massive, yummy-eating birds. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
Cool.
Cool.
So, so back on the teachers. So they're in Texas.
Huh.
Oh, great. You're going to have some Australian birds in the background.
All right. So the pterosaur incursion of 76, was it? Or 96?
76. Cool. So they're on the way to work, actually in separate cars, and they all see this thing. And it's like swooping on their cars and stuff. One of them stated that it glided through the air with huge bony wings, just like a bat. And when they got to work, one of them looked up what this animal could be in a book and concluded that it was a pterosaur.
What?
He's a teacher.
So he's like, it's a bird. I'm going to go to my bird book and look up what it is. Hang on, it's a pterosaur. Did he go to his dinosaur book or his bird book?
He went to lots of different books. He was like, oh, bird book. Nope.
It's a man
of widespread
knowledge.
Okay. September 14th, 1982.
6 years since the pterosaur incursion.
An ambulance driver, credible, called.
Okay.
What? You can't disbelieve everyone in every profession.
I don't, but they're not like notoriously trustworthy, are they?
They help people live.
They do that.
His name is James Thompson, and he was driving in Los Fresnos, Texas.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
So he sees something glide into view, low and in front of him, and he pulls over. It was grey, black in colour, covered in rough skin, but no feathers, had a lump on the back of its head, no neck, and its wings, which barely moved as it flew, were around 5 to 6 feet across. That is tiny. I'm not believing James anymore.
No, James is the most plausible. He has some details there, right? So no feathers. And it's not one of those, like those animated movie pterodactyls where it's got, like, points on both ends of its head.
It doesn't say anything about that.
You said he had a round back of head.
Wait, on the wings, you mean? The points on the wings?
No, like the head. I'm used to the head of a pterodactyl having two points.
Oh, yeah.
He said it's got a rounded back of head. So he's not just...
No, he says it has a lump on the back of its head.
Okay.
So more
but not
of
a point on the back of its head.
More of a lump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. But small. Suspiciously small.
I may have meant meters. I keep...
You may have meant meters.
I may have flip-flopping.
Right.
I keep flip-flopping between meters and feet, okay. Just to confuse.
Oh, the food's arriving.
Oh, my
goodbye,
God.
Audience.
Pizza.
And we're back.
We have eaten pizza. We have new gin.
We do. We're all fresh and supplied. Sorry for leaving you. Although in your time, we haven't left you even for a second, assuming Megan's done her fucking editing right.
Oh, thanks.
No, she's done a fine job so far. Okay.
Thank you.
So where were we?
I don't know. Does anyone remember?
We should have done this in the opposite order.
Give me a minute.
Do you want to say hello again?
Hello!
After we figure out where we are.
Should we start again?
Yeah. That's just the whole episode.
I fell over. No. Okay, so we went and talked about the ambulance guy.
You go?
Yes. Okay, so we are in 1989.
Okay.
South Carolina, afternoon.
Different state.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's on the East Coast.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't know. Susan Wooten, great name.
Wait, Susan Wootang?
No, Wooten.
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 Like W-O-O-T-E-N.
Perfect.
Oh, amazing. Okay.
Was cruising down the Highway 20, tailing a friend to the town of Florence.
Already alive. Florence is in Italy. Silly Susan.
Dismissed.
Yeah, dismissed. Next.
Next. So she suddenly noticed something out of the corner of her eye, which swooped from the left to right behind her friend's car. And it was as big as the car.
Shit, okay.
Big car.
This is the second car attack story, is it? Or maybe even the third.
Most of these are on, like, highways, actually.
Do her friends see it as well?
No. Okay. Stop interrupting.
Sorry.
So, she had no feathers, and it looked kind of like a humongous bat, her quote.
Hmm.
So, after a moment... As she explains, it swooped down over the highway, then gracefully over the pines. Both herself and other travellers going the other way pulled over to take a better look. However, she did not have time to, like, talk to anyone, as her friend did not see it and just, like, kept going. So she had to get back in the car to follow her mate.
But she did stop the car.
She stopped the car.
And get out of it.
Yes, so she stopped and had a look, as well as other people.
But her friend didn't stop.
Yeah, it was behind her friend.
So okay.
Experts who study these creatures in America explain that Susan's description of the creature and closeness to the encounter repudiate the misidentification of a bird or a bat. Repudiate.
That's like a contradict.
Can you tell that it's not my quote?
I sort of. Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
Bat experts say that her description doesn't fit that of a bat.
Just general experts. Just experts in several fields. And after the experience, she even skipped.
Wait, are these experts our friend earlier, the self-identified expert of pterodactyls or
pterosaurs?
What's his name?
Braithwaite? Other experts.
Yeah.
So after the experience, Susan even sketched what she saw. Are you ready?
Oh, this is going to be good. Hang on, let's swallow it. All right. That's endearing. Susan is not a good drawer.
Look at its feet.
Oh. okay.
Yeah, it's a pterodactyl. Pterosaur.
It looks like a pterosaur.
Mm.
The drawing.
Cool, that's all I have.
It's got little stick figure legs. It's kind of cute. All right.
In 1990, there was even a sighting on the USS Juliet CG-29, which was a guided missile cruiser.
Whoa, okay.
While out at sea, either north of Australia or in the East Indian Ocean, between 50 to 100 men saw a giant creature swoop over the chimneys of the boat.
Well, this is a completely different part of the world.
Yeah, I know, but it was really cool, so I wanted to include it.
That's interesting.
I think they were American.
That's 150 people saw something.
50 to 100.
What did they say?
They just saw a giant creature swooping, which had an estimate wingspan of 30 to 40 feet and looked like a pterodactyl. Big. Bigger than any crocodile. Or
that's crazy. Okay.
And the captain even said, who also saw the beast, he said, please refrain from using the word pterodactyl in your report to avoid seeming like crazy.
Huh.
So he was like, please don't use the word pterodactyl, even though it's a fucking pterodactyl.
That's weird. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plausible sighting.
Mm-hmm. 1994.
All right.
So I've originally got. Sorry. My sentence is great. 1994 comes around, comma, more sightings. So good. A man named Ryan Causey sees a creature flying over the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway Bridge. In Louisiana.
Okay.
I'm so bad at names and places.
I love that you read all of them out.
Good
division of labor.
So he's standing next to his broken down van, and he originally...
I'm the person who lives in a van. Or a...
He didn't live in it.
Oh, no, he's just driving around.
He's just driving
okay,
it.
Sorry.
And it broke down. He originally thought it was a, quote, huge evil black bird, but...
Okay.
He watched it for longer. He thought that it was in fact a pterosaur.
Okay.
It had a long tail, a crest on its head, a wingspan between 15 to 20 feet, and its skin looked like shiny leather. Jump to 2007.
Okay.
Like I said, there's like heaps of sightings.
2007.
I'm just doing the meaty ones. I can't. Wow. There was so many.
31 years.
There was definitely stuff in 31 years.
Since the incursion in Texas. The 76 invasion of pterosaurs, where there was, like, all the sightings. No,
my God, you're good at dates and things.
I spent, like, 20 seconds trying to calculate it in my head.
I still don't know what
you're talking about. Okay, anyway, sorry.
Okay. 2017. No. Sorry. You were taking a sip.
That's today.
Yes, we'll get to today.
2007. Yeah.
10 years ago. The cryptozoologist Scott T. Norman had an encounter with a pterodon in Central California at 2 a.m.
Okay, person whose life is devoted to claiming these things exist.
I mean, something.
Says he had an encounter. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Personal blood credibility, I'm going to say, as a skeptic.
Cool. The creature silently swooped into view over some buildings and then into a field. The bat-like wings were estimated 8 to 10 feet in length. and it's had a head crest along... No.
It just didn't fit. That's less than 3 meters.
Okay. Yes, that's small. Tiny.
And, like, is... We were saying, like, 30 to 40 feet before.
Yeah. I think 5 meters was the smallest.
Yeah. Okay.
And its head crest was 2 feet long.
Okay.
As he said, it looked like a pterosaur, but he wasn't 100% sure.
Wow. Cool.
Great.
Great stuff.
Thanks.
Okay.
Shall I repeat it? Can we hear
that's
it again?
Good. So a man whose word I wouldn't believe anyway says he maybe saw something. Terrific. You don't have to list every sighting you find, you know? Like,
I don't know. I wrote it down. I thought it was good. What can I say?
You can exercise some, like...
I did.
Oh, God. This is the best of the crop. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so over the many years in America, there have been several interesting missing persons cases under strange circumstances in the national parks. And people think that this is due to pterosaurs.
Why do they think that?
Because it coincides with different eyewitness accounts. So they see a weird pterosaur thing, some guy goes missing, and they're like, connection. Coincidence? I think not.
Yes. Definitely coincidence. Lots of people go missing all the time.
But under strange circumstances?
Yes. But what are the strange circumstances?
I don't know. No trace.
Then yes, people go missing under those circumstances 100% of the time.
Well, maybe it's pterosaurs.
That there are missing persons. That's what makes you a missing person, right?
Yeah.
I guess you can be missing with a trace.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. That's what I thought.
Okay.
Okay. So, there's even been some sightings from this year, 2017.
Oh, exciting.
So, on the 8th or 9th of May, a person who describes himself as, I'm a perfectly sane 31-year-old man.
Oh, that's a good way to start. Okay.
He saw a pterosaur. He was driving through heavy traffic, almost at a standstill, 10 a.m. in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Looking around because he was probably bored, he saw something in the corner of his eye that caught his attention. It was bigger than an eagle, and it had its head and neck clearly resembled a pterosaur more than a bird.
Okay.
Yes. He states that it had a long tail.
Yeah, we heard earlier that they didn't have necks.
Everything's got a neck.
You said earlier in the podcast. Someone's description of the pterosaur was that it was neckless.
I don't know.
That was the word he used.
Well, one pterosaur may have no neck and one may.
Okay, it's like a beefy pterosaur with big traps or something.
Yeah, big wing traps.
Okay.
So he states that it had a really... Whoa, God, I nearly dropped the iPad. Jesus Christ.
Get it together.
I'm trying.
All right.
Okay, he states that it had a long tail... And that it was wider at the end, and it moved very differently to what a bird would do, but by no means slow as it rocketed in front of him until he lost sight of it.
Okay.
Later on...
Did anyone else of the, like, thousands of cars in this gridlock street see the dinosaur?
Possibly. They just didn't email this guy and tell him about it.
Okay, all right.
Also not a dinosaur.
Amateur.
So the most recent pterosaur sighting that I could find was on June 1st, 2017.
Okay.
Very fresh.
Fresh stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
A lady.
Ooh, credible.
<That's> sexist. from North Carolina, spotted a huge, winged, brown, strange beast circling in the air above her while she waited at a bus stop. The first thing she noticed was the shadow on the floor that it cast, and it cruised around 80 to 100 feet above the ground.
Okay.
It had a long tail, like that of a lion's or like a paintbrush. It only slightly flapped its wings, and it had a crest on its head, which was nearly the same size as its huge beak.
Okay. All right. So is this our sighting still?
That's,
the
yes.
The most recent sighting,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the end. Okay. What did you think of the sightings?
I think they're pretty interesting.
What did you think about the veracity of the subject?
I think, okay. For realsies, I think the size is the main thing. Like, you can see a bird, and you're like, that's, it looks pterodactyly or pterosaur-y, but it's, like, small.
Okay, so already we can discredit the guy who was like, I saw a 6-foot wingspan thing.
I guess so.
And the other guy was like, I saw an 8-foot
Yeah, I think it's small as well.
The cryptozoology. Okay.
But when it's that big, you gotta be like...
But the people who are like, it was the size of a car.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Okay. My thoughts, the 50 to 100 sailors who saw this thing.
Yeah.
That seems really... Something must have happened there. And they said it was massive as well, right?
Yeah, that was one of the bigger ones.
The other people, the lots of people in America who independently seem to have seen this very large thing. I'm not super sure about those. What does convince me a little bit, or like what lends it some plausible credibility, is that the sighting seems to have been mostly in the same place, like Texas and North or South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
barring the one in the like East Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I guess if they were real, if we imagine for a moment they were real, they'd probably live in a region, right? They're not just going to fly randomly all over the world.
True.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Okay.
Why... The people who saw them in the 70s and 80s and 90s, the sightings were for, it seemed like they were for an extended period of time, at least some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yep.
there were, you said there were like three different teachers saw them
yeah.
all on the same day driving to work?
Yes.
If that sort of thing can happen, like some of them were quick, like the police officer,
mm-hmm.
he just swooped off as soon as he saw him, allegedly.
Yeah.
If there are extended sightings, and if those continue in the current day and age, why is there no footage? Why are there no photos?
What if I tell you that I have a really good photo?
Okay, all right.
Okay.
All right, it's exciting. Let's have a look.
What do you know, first of all, what do you know of the American Civil War? Like, what is your knowledge on that? You can say nothing. I
very basic.
Very basic. Okay, I'm probably subpar of very basic.
Okay.
I know zilch about it.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Apologies to our American viewers.
Sorry.
Your country is important, as is its history.
Yes. I do know, though, that... They saw a pterosaur. That's one thing I do know.
In the Civil War.
In the Civil War.
Okay.
So, in the 1950s, a photo was published in a believe it or not type of book. 1950s.
Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
This photo was accompanied by a story that a bird-like thing was shot down by soldiers of the American Civil War in 1864 near the city of Vicksburg.
Shot down.
Shot down.
Wow, okay.
Keeled.
They iced that motherfucker. All right.
Yeah. So for those listening at home, I strongly suggest you look up the PTP photo or like American Civil War pterodactyl.
Yeah, we'll put it up on the Facebook page.
We definitely will because I really want to just like dive into what you think about this.
Okay. All right. This is cool.
So in the... Early 21st century, a fake hoax photo, like a knockoff of this original photo, was created by a TV show called Freaky Links. So make sure you're looking at the right one at home or wherever you may be listening to my voice.
Possibly not at home.
Possibly. It went creepy. So make sure you're looking at the one where the pterosaur is dark, like it's like near black color.
Make sure you're looking at the right one.
Yes.
In your room. Janice.
How do they know? Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to show Patty this photo right now.
Okay. What? Okay. If this photo isn't photoshopped, then pterosaurs exist.
Exactly.
Because that's it's a photo. Okay, for people who are too lazy to actually just find the link on our Facebook page, it is a bunch of, I think, Confederate soldiers? But I have no idea. Over the corpse of what is quite clearly a pterodactyl, and one of them's got his like foot on the beak. That actually looks a bit dodgy there, but whatever. And it's an old black and white photo. Were photos up to that sort of quality in when the war was going on?
Yeah.
It was like 1870s, wasn't it?
Yeah. They were. It was the era of photograph where you had to stay still for a really like not a really long time, but quite a long time so they could get the light.
Okay. This is huge, maybe. Or just made up. But
well,
Megan has some information on why it's probably not made up.
Yes.
She thinks.
So there's quite there's a few photos of people who are supposedly posing in front of pterosaurs, but they've all been proven to be fake. This has been around for a long, long time, and people cannot prove that it's fake.
Okay.
So people are pretty sure it's real. So one of the main things is that people remember this being in that book in the 1950s, which is long before Photoshop was invented.
Yeah, it's before Photoshop, but,
mm-hmm.
like, it's not before the doctoring of photos. I mean, like, people fucked around with photos before then, right? You just had to, like, physically, like, cut and paste things.
They did. There's photos of, like, a giant chicken looking at a man. Like,
yeah.
But in today's society, you look at that and it looks super fake.
Okay.
I look at this and it does not
look
super fake.
I look at that and where the foot touches the beak looks like it doesn't match up.
Mm. Well, actually, it's an interesting thing about that point. So people have drilled into this photo, like, super clearly, and the foot is actually casting a shadow on the beak, and its contours, the shadow, line up with its like, edges of the teeth and the beak.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense with how shadows react with light.
I'm just saying it looks weird. But not super weird. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone got a copy of the book?
No, I don't think so. People just remember it. From years ago, from decades ago.
Sure, there must be.
There must be.
What book was it in?
It was like a, believe it or not, type of book, but I couldn't find what it was actually called. I don't think anyone really knows.
Okay.
So
what's the earliest primary source we have of this photo?
I don't know. I don't have that information.
Okay, right.
It was definitely in a book, and many people have said, I remember looking at that book as a kid.
Okay, but this is interesting, because it takes us to the point where either this photo is made up, or these things are real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you have any other points on why it's not made up?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Why is it not made up?
So, there appears to be drag marks in the dirt where the animal looks like it's been brought into view. So, it looks like a photographer went and asked us, like, take a photo of these spirit guys with this corpse, and it looks like there's drag marks which the beak has been, like, pulled across the brush
to
get it into a clearing.
I disagree. That's a very heavy beast. There are some lines in the dirt.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of men there, so you got to admit that. You got to think they picked it up somewhat, but it's maybe its beak dragging
a
bit.
Okay, that's very unconvincing.
Okay, well, I've got more.
Okay, sorry. That seems like a person who really wants this to be true was like, a line in the dirt. Drag marks.
Exactly.
Okay. Now he's pointed it out, like, you would expect there to be drag marks, and there are no drag marks that are consistent with, like, a creature that size.
Well,
this must have just been where it landed, if we want to believe in this.
I don't think so. I think there's six men there, plus a photographer.
You think they lifted it up completely off the ground and only its beak left a little line in the dirt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was its wing or its leg that left that line.
Maybe.
Okay, the features of the animals also are quite a good sign. So if you drill in, they're not 100% the same as the fossil records, but they're, like, quite similar. So you've got to think that maybe they evolved slightly over time.
Okay.
So we have the fossil records.
Well, that's interesting. If you were going to make it up, you'd just go exactly with it.
Yes. Interesting. Indeed.
Maybe.
Physicist Clifford Paiva.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Physicist. Of Central California is one scientist who has examined this photograph carefully and confirms that the following aspects align with what you should expect to see. The muscles of the neck, the curve of the neck, and the hump where it connects to the body of the animal.
Why is a physicist telling us about this?
That's just what he does.
That's not what physicists do.
This is what this physicist does.
That's not physics. This is the study of like ancient creatures, right? Not physics.
Maybe he has a hobby. Like the rest of us.
Then why are we mentioning he's a physicist?
He knows, he's
like,
clearly done his research.
Milkman and...
cryptozoologist.
Yes, cryptozoologist by night. Okay.
So this guy's even been able to look, like, magnify into this photo and see that the animal has a slit eye, like vertical pupil in its eye, in this photo.
How is he doing that?
He's got science stuff.
No, but like... The only image available is the image we've got, right?
Yep.
No one has the book, so they can't actually... Or the original image.
Mm-hmm.
So if you zoom in further on this photo, you just gets blurry, right?
But surely he's got some sort of fancy software that allows you to do that.
No. I mean, the photo is only of a certain resolution. There's only so many pixels there, right?
If you lighten the image, maybe?
No.
You can see the...
All right, let's say he's got a better photo than us, maybe.
Okay.
He's done this. Okay.
Cool. So the man in front of the picture... also helps to prove the authenticity of this picture. Photo. Image. Picture. So he's got his foot on the beak of the animal, and it casts a shadow, like I said before, that is exactly in accordance to how it should look with the sun. So people think that this is, many people have looked at this and think this is legit a man, a real man, with a real foot on a real beak.
Okay. For me, when I looked at the photo, the only part of it that looked a bit sketchy was the man's foot and where it touched the pterodactyl. If I was going to say this was fake, I would assume that how they faked it is they got an actual photo of some soldiers who had killed an animal and one of them had each foot on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they somehow got rid of the actual animal and put in a pterodactyl.
Interesting. But we surely would have that image by now. The original.
Oh, we don't even have the book this is from. Okay.
So upon magnification of the image again, the belt buckles of the men behind the animal are all the same size, which is, like, smaller than the guy in front, who's slightly bigger. If it was Photoshopped, they would all be, like, the same size, but they can tell that they were definitely standing that distance apart from each other.
Yeah, but the claim is this is an actual photo of some men who killed an animal,
mm-hmm.
and they got rid of the animal and put in a pterodactyl.
But with what?
With whatever they used before Photoshop existed.
Nothing in...
Between the invention of photos and Photoshop, there were means of, like, making up photos. Like, all the people who did, like, fake passports and stuff.
Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong, Patty.
You tire me, Patrick.
Was it not even there was computers back then?
No, that wouldn't be on a computer. It would be, like, physical.
It would not be that detailed. People would have been able to tell by now that that was done dodgy McDodge face.
It does look a bit dodgy. I don't know. It looks a bit dodgy to me. It could be drawn in.
A bit dodgy to me.
It could be drawn in. Yeah, I don't know. Just the bits, like the bits where like the soldier's legs are contrasted. I don't know. I just think it looks a bit weird. It could be drawn. Yeah. It's black and white. Like you could go over it with a pencil. Anyway.
Okay. More facts coming at you. So, the attire of the men also aligns with the attire that they should be wearing.
Of course it would. No one's claiming that the men are made up. Of course their belt buckles are fine. Of course they're real men.
Okay. Well, some people think that, so good.
Okay.
So our mate, scientist Clifford Pavia again, recently made a discovery about the photo.
The physicist.
Yeah, the physicist dude.
Okay, the one with no relevant credentials.
Except a hobby. So he noticed that underneath the beak/neck of the animal is a prop that props the beak up, which is consistent with the 19th century photo techniques.
Oh?
You can have a look.
Okay.
It's underneath.
I'll just take Piver's word for it.
Yeah. So the reason behind that technique was because the soldier resting his foot on the animal... Sorry, just touched your leg a bit. Sorry.
Please make it. Keep it professional.
It's just the gin talking.
Just getting a bit handsy.
So they used to keep the prop there so he could put his leg on it and it, so everyone could be as motionless as possible for the long exposure period that they needed.
Okay, but assuming that there was another animal there, you would expect there to be a prop.
I suppose so, but if they were drawn in, why would you bother doing a prop?
No, you wouldn't. The prop's already there. You're just drawing over the other animal, whatever it was. I don't know. Anyway.
So. Those who have analysed the photo can see that it looks like the brush and like dirt and stuff has been pushed from either side in front of the animal to make it look.
Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah.
So it's
that
been like
kind of looks like, yeah.
Swept aside so you can see the animal there.
Yeah, it does.
apparently, there's also a bit of brush in between the neck and the front of the beak. So in between where the neck is, which is like nearly impossible.
What are you talking about? No, it's just there, and then you draw on top of it, the beak.
No.
Where are you getting this from? This is such, like, bogus photography stuff.
No one draws a photo. I don't think that is... No one can do that, except for those people these days. But this has been around for ages.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. The wings of the animal are also asymmetrical, indicating that it was not digitally replicated.
No, that doesn't indicate that. These are just features, and then at the end of the feature, you're like, which indicates it's real. Like, these are just... You don't create digital images just by doing half of it and then copy-pasting it and, like, flipping it over.
That is a way of doing things.
That's not what you do if you are forging this. And you already said it was created before there were computers, so we know it's not digital.
Good! Some people think it is!
Some people...
It's very difficult to predict where you're going to land on these things, so I have to have all my facts in case I get this bipedal bullshit again.
I'm tired by this piva being like, oh, and... The man wearing pants, which indicates it's not made up. Like, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Stop yelling at me.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So, I'll show you. Do you want to see the hoax video?
Has anyone who actually is a professional judge of photo authenticity looked at this photo?
I mean, surely.
Not just a physicist?
If it's been around since 1950, surely.
You say surely, but like, why haven't you found them?
What are you going to say?
Like, I'm a photo expert, and as far as I can tell, this looks authentic.
Yes, heaps of people like that have said that. They said, I can't tell that this is, like, this looks not Photoshopped because it wasn't around before Photoshop.
No, heaps of people, but heaps of people who are experts at telling authentic from inauthentic.
Yes, the main consensus is, which we both agree on, that it's not digitally, done.
Consensus, not just among people. People whose job is to look at old photos and say whether they're legit or not.
Yes.
They have.
They believe that it's either real or they created a model and it's a model there. But then, like, why they're in the middle of a war, why would they be creating a model of a pterodactyl? And then, like, it's so detailed and it's so perfectly aligned with what we know from fossil records with, like, a slight variation that makes sense with evolution.
Not to be a nitpicker, but can I see where in your notes it says that?
Everywhere. No, you're not allowed to look at my notes. That's background knowledge.
Okay.
Because I didn't know you would focus on that point again. Because
it's really important.
You're unpredictable.
I'm not sure. Okay. Well, if that's true, then shit. Mm. Then I lose. Probably.
Yeah. So here is some evidence for why people think the photo is fake.
Okay.
To help you out. Thank you. Because you need help.
I do.
Because it's so real. Paddy!
I'm struggling a little bit with this.
Paddy.
It sort of hinges on whether the photo is legit.
Paddy!
Yes!
There are pterodactyls.
just accept it.
Okay. So, soldiers. Okay, well, this is all evidence for why it's Photoshopped, but, like, is it even worth going through it if you don't think it's Photoshopped?
Maybe, because no one's found the original source from the 50s. It's just people remembering the book.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So yeah, it could actually be from the 80s, or whenever Photoshop was from.
Yeah, maybe. So if you're looking at the photo, the soldier on the very left apparently has no fingers as he's holding the rifle. However, like, it's just...
He was a man without fingers, so
no,
there.
There's like 600 reasons for why he could have no fingers. A... Yes!
That's just a strange sounding sentence. There are so many reasons this man could have no fingers.
Yes.
They could have been chopped off, a dog could have eaten them.
He could have given them to his missus before
he
went to war.
Exactly, yes, that's important to do.
Van Gogh was his hero.
It was an ear, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, close. But the argument for why that's not true is because why would they Photoshop a rifle into a man? Surely, why would his arm be out like that if there wasn't a rifle there?
That's true. Yeah, that's a weird thing to pick up on. Okay.
Just 600 things.
Just it's real, okay?
It's just real.
Just stop
fighting.
Yeah.
Sit back and relax.
Be nice.
Just have your mind blown.
Pterodactyls are real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We can agree.
No, I was being you.
Cool.
Are there any plausible it's Photoshopped reasons?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Could be a model, I guess. I don't know, the face looks kind of drawn to me. That's why I...
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway.
I think it might be real.
Well, shit.
I think a photo of the actual animal is good enough.
It's pretty good if it's real, but we've already seen that there are hoax photos of this thing.
Yeah, but they've all been proven fake already. So why isn't this one?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe this is being... not very fair to people from the 1950s or whatever, but do you really think a hoax from that far long ago would stand up to modern?
I don't know it's from the 50s. No one has proven it's from then.
I'm telling you.
I'm sorry. All right, Go on. What are the proposed explanations?
Okay, so
they're going to be stupid. They
yeah, birds
are.
And stuff.
Okay. Are there any?
That's it. That's all I want. The last thing I had is.
Okay. All right. Well, shit. You've got me like last time. Or the time before. Like, there's one bit of evidence that's potentially really convincing, and everything hinges on whether that is true. Like, it was the footprint last time.
Mm.
Does the footprint indicate they're bipedal or not?
Yes.
Which
okay.
we're going
we'll
to get to.
That.
If the people who study these photos for authenticity have looked at it and are like, I'm very confident this is authentic.
Yes.
Only photo experts, not just people on the internet, like
legit.
Piver. Then I have to say, I would give it maybe 70 or 80%. Because there's still the chance they made a model.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous situation to make a model, though.
No, because these could be guys in the 50s or the 40s who dressed up in war getup and made a model. They're not in an actual war. I think this whole thing hinges on whether that photo is legitimate or not.
Which we'll never know. Really? I mean, maybe in the future we'll have.
Well, I thought you were saying we do know, and the answer is yes.
From modern day technology, yes. But, you know, in the future we could have new tests. I don't know. I'm not...
Yeah. All right, well, can we exclude the photo for a moment and think, just off the sightings, what do we think?
Okay, just off the sightings.
There's something in the East Indian Ocean.
Big. Big.
Big.
Bigger than a bird. Like...
Huge. Yeah. Unless the whole boat was, like, tripping balls or something.
And
it's just hard.
Yeah.
Are there any... I don't know. We don't... It would be cool to spend a couple of years studying this.
Well, that's the plan.
I mean, specifically the pterosaur.
Yeah.
I'm a bit disappointed because I was expecting this to be an obviously false cryptid. I was really looking forward to it. I can't conclude today being like, this is obviously false. My final verdict... Well, what's your verdict? You've looked over this more than I have.
I think there's pterodactyls in America.
Okay. I don't.
Okay.
I think there's something in the East Indian Ocean where all the sailors saw something. As for all the sightings, a lot of them seem to be like, these are just ordinary people. None of them were like experts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hugely convinced by the sightings, except the one in the ocean with all the sailors. And the photo, I don't know, I'm going to put my... This feels so weird to say. I'm going to put my credibility that there are pterodactyls at like... And my credibility that there's something weird in the East Indian Ocean at high, at like 98% or something.
Okay.
And the shit in America, I'm not sure.
So what I'm hearing...
So overall pterodactyl, I don't know, it's hard to say.
I feel like I heard 98% sure that there's a pterodactyl in the ocean.
No, not a pterodactyl, a something. They said it looked like a pterodactyl. Though,
yeah,
they?
The captain was like, please don't use the word pterodactyl. We all know it's a pterodactyl, but please don't use that because they'll
That's
think we're fucking crazy.
Weird. That's so weird. Yeah, shit, I don't know. Like, a non-negligible chance that there are pterodactyls somewhere. I can't believe you made me say that. I hate you.
So happy.
No.
Yes. Happy. I told you.
Oh.
You wouldn't believe in a bipedal ape, but you believed in fucking pterodactyls.
100 sailors saw it. What am I supposed to do?
Oh, God.
Shit. All right. You win this one.
Fuck yeah, I did.
Yeah, we swear a lot.
Sorry. Shall we talk about bipedal apes?
We should.
$10.
Specifically, the orang pendeg.
Yes. For those of us who joined us last episode, Paddy was a stickler for the bipedal aspect. So.
And we have real money here. We don't actually have $10 because we're poor, but we've got $5.
And it's the new $5.
The stakes are nearly as high. Look here, this rustling of money.
It's the new fancy $5.
Yeah, it is.
So really it's
so
worth.
So it's worth at least $10.
At least.
At least. Can you still do the whale thing?
Yeah, it looks even sadder now.
You told me this. Yeah, okay. All right, I'm going to do that. You... Oh, God. It looks really distressed.
I've been doing this for so long.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry. Anyone who is not Australian does not understand
what
we're talking about. So actually, so this is really cool. So I did some research on this, and the evidence for why they bipedal, these orang pendeg in Sumatra, just backpacking, just a little bit of context.
Mm-hmm. Ah, actually, I had some thoughts of my own in the last week.
Okay.
First of all, you need to provide a source for this stuff, because it can't just be someone saying, oh no, the footprint indicates it's walking on 2 feet, because that could be like Van or someone, right? It could be someone who just really wants this to be true. Number two, you would expect there to be a bipedal footprint, because we know this thing walks on 2 feet some of the time, but I mean, dogs walk on 2 feet some of the time, right?
Not really.
Or like chimps in the zoo walk on 2 feet for like little bits of distance. Okay. We need it to be a thing that predominantly walks on 2 feet.
Yes.
So unless you've got prints for like hundreds of feet.
Yes, I do.
You do? I do have that. Here they are.
Okay, here we go. Here is all your concerns right now.
Ah, groovy.
Debbie Martin? Martin, the chick from before,
yeah.
Dedicated 15 years to this thing, scientist.
Yeah, it was kind of sad how long she spent and didn't find anything.
Turns out there was a thing she had that I just totally didn't read about until this time.
Okay.
At one point, she came across clean tracks that followed two different orangutan dogs walking side by side for, I believe, 120 feet.
Ooh.
In sort of like moist mud. Right. So she knows about tracks of animals.
Okay.
And this was classified as a bipedal track. It's actually a classification. And it becomes evident that they walk on two legs rather than four. When a quadrupedal animal walks in a straight line, their back legs usually imprint themselves next to or on top of the front prints, leaving like a messy, distinct trail. Uh-huh. Debbie followed what appeared to be two orangutan dogs walking side by side for 120 feet before the soil dried up and the tracks disappeared. These prints were clear, not doubled up, and suggested the animals walk on two legs slowly and leisurely. And animals such as sun bears that are quadrupedal can only walk a few steps on 2 feet. So they're not actually able to
walk. I've seen a monkey in a zoo walk maybe 10 steps.
Yeah.
On two feet.
This
but this would be weird.
It wasn't scared or anything either. It's in its natural habitat, just chilling.
I would give it more than 50% of this thing exists then. So you've just won episode 2, retrospectively.
Good.
Damn.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right, ending bit. Ba-ba-ba. Okay, cool. All right, so that wraps up the episode. I'm a bit distressed at how that went, but...
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah. How did we end up here?
I don't know. You're very unpredictable.
So yeah, that wraps up this episode.
Mm.
As always, our Facebook, where we're Cryptid Addicted on Facebook and Twitter. We're Cryptid_Addicted on Instagram.
And yeah, feel free to send us any stories you may have of weird things you've encountered in the world. If you've seen some sort of weird animal out there and you want us to identify maybe what you saw, please send us your stories on cryptidaddicted@gmail.com. And we'll have an episode dedicated to reading your stories, and I'll try and work out maybe what you saw.
Yeah, and if you've got any photos, please send those as well. We prefer black and white with some pencil marks on them. Yeah, preferably from like the 50s, but with no primary sources. That'd be great.
Or digital.
Or, but not Photoshop, obviously. Or maybe it's a bit Photoshop.
No.
All right. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
We'll see you next fortnight.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.